The title I was given this morning was Inclusive Community, okay, which I hope we'll get some idea of where we're going with that by the end of the session. And I've got a number of different strands really this morning, and I've struggled really as to how to present it, really, because there are like at least three strands. It's almost like I wanted to post three ropes going across so that we can hold those all together. Now, I don't know whether a map would have been good, because you can put lots of different things on a map, but there's lots of different things flying around, and you're going to have to sort of cope with that and see where we go. We'll try and put it in some sort of order. We're starting with this verse here, though, in Ephesians 2, which I think, and there's another verse as well from Ezekiel, that I think actually underpins everything. It's like the core stuff that runs through everything we've got about inclusive community. Because if we haven't got this, there's not much point in talking about it. So, we've got that. But in now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in his one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to you who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And the chief cornerstone bit, by the way, is the fact that he is making two into one. Okay, it's about reconciliation, this whole thing. Being joined together rises, becomes a holy temple in the Lord, and in him you're being built together to become a dwelling. Now, we are being built together as a dwelling, but I want I want a sense today, in the background, if you like. I don't know if you might never have been camping, okay, but the way that we've got to think about church is like that we're on this massive life journey, is like a massive camping trip, okay, where things are always going to change, we're moving on. The scenery is going to look a bit different. The people that we meet are going to be different, and so on. So we'll just come back to that. Can we have the Ezekiel one up as well, please? This guy here, Ezekiel, was given a prophecy to take two sticks and to tie them together. Okay? And basically he says, join them. In verse 17 it says, join them together into one stick so they become one in your hand. And it's sort of like that, you know, if you've got your little stirrer stick, you can enact the prophecy yourself this morning, little model. You can break the stick, so you've got two sticks, and then you can put them together. You just put them side by side and you can hold them, and you can imagine you wrap some string or cotton around, or you use some epoxy glue or Loctite or any other form of glue which you won't be interested in. But it says, when your countrymen ask you, won't you tell us what you mean by this? He says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I'm going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in Ephraim's hand, and of the Israelite tribes associated with him, and join it into Judah's stick, making them a single stick. And then he goes on about all of this stuff, which you can read there, which is absolutely brilliant prophecy for Israel. But what I'm trying to give you in this scripture this morning is the sense of God's heart to reconcile, to join back together, okay? And it's the very purpose that Jesus got off his chair in heaven and crossed the universe and came to earth. To reconcile men to men, which is what this is talking about, and also man to God. Okay, so it's joining stuff together. And this undergirds everything that we're talking about in inclusive community. It requires us to have a continual change of mind. Not just a once change of mind when whatever your age you are now, oh, I can change my mind now, I'll do what God says, and that's it. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be a continuing change of mind, because we're never really going to be totally like God until we really meet him. Okay, there are three sections that we want to look at in terms of the way the church has been doing stuff and where we're at and where we're going and where we're going to be, hopefully, in the future with this inclusive community stuff. So let's just talk about inclusive community for a moment. What we're talking about inclusive community, what we mean is that our community, the church community, becomes inclusive. So it's not exclusive. Okay, so that people don't look in on us and go, oh, that's a specific bunch of people, and it's very difficult to get into them, they're very exclusive. It's got to be the opposite of that. Okay, so if you imagine how you can be exclusive, if you start to think about being exclusive, you hide together in your own place, you become unseen, you are closed off, you tend to look inward, and all of those sorts of things, that's exclusive, yeah? You face away from people, you don't interact with outsiders, you interact with insiders, and all of that. So turn that on its head and say, well, how are we going to be inclusive? That means that we have to look outwards, we have to become seen, we actually have to be welcoming of people, and actually sort of, if you can imagine it's sort of like, if you imagine a circle, it loses its boundary and then becomes blurred with the other areas surrounding it. Okay, so it starts to merge, so you can't see the edges so easily. Now, I know there's some difficulties with that, with, you know, who's a Christian and who isn't, and all that sort of thing, but we'll just have to leave that for a little moment. We'll see where we go with that in a minute. Let's look at some examples of what Dayspring has been trying to do. Now, can we, Paul, sorry, yes. A quick OTT, we've been doing that. You can see that the edges are definitely blurred here. There are people being talked to. We're out in the community. We're trying to just reach out into the community as being inclusive, chatting to anybody who will care to chat with us. Okay, so it's not exclusive. Okay, next one. Just love this activity. Couldn't help but keep this shot in here. Literally shot. Because we try to be as inclusive as we can with the men's group and just let anybody come in and try to do activities with that. Okay, next one. I don't know if you remember the night baton relay. This is the only photo I had of it, really, that would give you the idea of it. There's another one coming up. And again, what we're doing is we're just going out, and actually we're joining with some of the group there. And so there isn't a... You know, it's not something that we've initiated, but we're just getting involved. And in fact, finding a number of Christians already involved in that from other churches is what I've found. And a real openness for people to talk about stuff. Next one.
You mentioned David in Canberra, and his actually has got involved in Canberra as a result.
Yeah, the couple that have been running Jolly Rider, David and Helen, have actually been coming along to Canberra. Just loving every single one, it's getting better and better. And also the conversations that we're having are getting very interesting. The last one I had was quite close to the knuckle. He really threw me back and I didn't really know how to answer him, so I just stayed quiet, which was a bit fairly silent. But you know, you have to do those things.
That's when God takes over.
Don't worry. Fine, it was just, yeah, difficult. Didn't want to answer, I didn't want to... Anyway, I'm not going down there now. Next one. The bus and all of the bus work. I've just shown this one at Wellington Place, but you know that there's Malmesbury and Lynham and Laycock, and there's the Travellers and there's Lackham and so on. So there's a number of different places that we're actually just trying to go and serve the community and get in there. Next one. I really searched for a photo. I haven't got a photo of all the people doing gardens, so I just have to use this one off the website. But we're working in the cell group, we're working in Woodlands Road, just getting to know people and serving them again. Again, this is the sort of thing where we're talking about leaving the old ways of doing church, if you like, and actually getting church filtering in to the community in different ways. Okay, next one. And I've got Cabaret Connection there again. Just whip that off the website. But you know what Cabaret Connection is like. It's actually inviting people. About 50% of the people are unchurched, just drawing them in, telling the story, letting it ebb and flow, listening to the conversations, you know, and all that. And of course, that's what's going on most of the time in all of the other things. So you're just listening to people's story, the ebb and flow of conversation, and trying to, you know, when people say, well, why are you doing this? You know, you've got some way of answering the question. Now, I wanted to just, can we just show, no, we'll just, hold on 1 second. Yeah, before we do that, I'll just, we'll go for the DVD thing, Jeff Lucas, is that right? Just in a second. One of the things that I've noticed, right, when I've been doing funding applications, or Sue Sandberg's really been doing funding applications, but when I've been interacting with people like the lottery and stuff like that, or people surrounding funding where they are not Christians, and it's secular funding that are coming in, there is this culture that I've realised what the culture is. It's taken me probably about a year or 2 years to grab a hold of this. But the culture is this. People assume that Christians are secretive and exclusive. They assume that that's where we're at. And therefore, their mission is to make it open so we can see what they're doing, and they also want to control us so they tie us down so that we don't do evangelism. Okay? Now, that their assumption is that we're secretive and exclusive, and they're worried about that. And you can't blame them for thinking like that, for the stuff that's gone on over the last 10, 15 years, all the revelations of different sorts of churches that have had different bad things happen. Okay? But here's the thing about the stuff that we've been trying to get into, and this next video clip is going to talk about a little bit, is putting things into view, into full view. Okay, let's just take a look at this, and we'll have another look at a clip as well. If you can.
It was not to let the yeast, the influence of the Pharisees and Sadducees get into their hearts. There's a right way of doing faith, and there's a wrong way. And the elder brother spirit can get into all of our hearts. I asked Darren if he found that the elder brother at times wanted to cancel the party
and send everybody home.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think that spirit of the elder brother, yeah, first of all, he realized it wasn't for him. So when we do church for other people rather than ourselves, it creates quite a challenge.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because often people, we hear folk talking about my church, right, and we know what they mean by that. Perhaps that's just a helpful statement of identification that they're glad to be part of that church community. But we can push that too far and start to see the church as something that belongs to us.
It's an odd thing, because we're one of the few, if not the only entity I know of, called the church, where we primarily exist for the people who don't come yet.
That's right. And so, I think we've probably heard that before. If you've been Christians for a while, you'll have heard that we're the only group of people that are around for those that are not part of us. If we are to be like that, we've got to get stuff out into full view. Okay, and I believe that that's what we've been doing with OTT and Cabaret Connections. I forgot to mention Essence on there as well, and the bus. You know, it's getting stuff out into full view. Let's just take it. Well, I'm concerned about this one. We'll show you this. I'm just going to show you the last part of this video, which is the, I think you've probably seen before, because Dave has shown it before, which is the communion table out in different places. But we'll have a look at it in a moment. I'm not necessarily sure that we should literally take a table out. I think this is a metaphor for us, really. Although, I have actually thought of one place that you could take a table out to. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Let's just have a quick look at that and then... you might not have seen it, but there's a communion table. Guy actually goes up to, goes into his garage and pulls out this old table and decides that he's got four chairs with it. He's just going to put it in different communities and different places, on the street, around the corner and whatever, and just all that, and put a glass of wine and a loaf of bread, or half a loaf of bread, on it. Are you there with it? Or?
No, let me try something.
Okay. Now, I think I could do that in the traveller community, but that's because they have got quite a strong Catholic background, so they'd understand what the stuff was about. And it might provoke some good conversation, really, in terms of that. But I think it's probably more of a metaphor for us that we actually are taking our spirituality out into the community. Now, I think it makes us examine a little bit, because I think if people are going to look at what we do as Christians, is everybody concentrating on what you're doing, right? Okay. I think we're probably.
That's it?
Yeah, go on. It's about changing the way that we do things, really, because I think the people around us in our communities and people like us have actually changed the way that they do things and the way that they think. I think sometimes we still think, if you've been doing the square mile stuff, you'll see that some people have done these vox pops things and they've said, you know, what do you think when you hear the word evangelism and everybody goes, almost have a heart failure, and no thank you, don't really want to get involved in that, you know, and would you like to come to supper? Yeah, that'd be great, thanks. And you know, there's a sort of a thing about evangelism, but the evangelism we're thinking about, I think, is probably still the Billy Graham stuff in the 50s and the 60s, and we've still got this concept that we've got to go out, we've got to pressure people, and we've got to try and get them to do something they don't want to do. And I just think that is not where it's at. It may well have been where it was at 40, 50 years ago, but it's not. It's blatantly not where it's at now. So we have to do something differently. So we've got to change our minds. So where, if you've been, you're at most disadvantage, I think, if you've been Christian longer at this point, and you've really got to think about changing your mind probably more often than people who've been a Christian less time. Because, you know, it'll be more ingrained in us. I mean, I've been a Christian a long time. It's taken me a long time to sort of try and do these things. And I still find myself naturally sort of reverting to old type. We need to be recognising that people are open in our culture to talking about spiritual things. If you watch the Square Mile stuff, you'll see that J. John, who I actually remember, when he spoke about how long he'd been an evangelist, I thought, well, I knew you, mate. I met you before you started your evangelism, unless he got his numbers wrong about the 30 years that he'd been involved in evangelism. And I just think that we've got to... what he was saying was people are open to talk about spiritual things. Okay? So they really are. And I think that we're discovering that with OTT. I think that we're discovering that in, you know, Cabaret Connections. I don't think we're discovering it everywhere, but then we may not have tried it in the right way everywhere. It depends how you talk about it, I think. So, inclusive community is about talking about it in the right way with people so that they don't feel, as soon as you start talking about religion, Christianity or faith or whatever, that they're immediately excluded. But actually talking to them and having conversation with them that's on the level that they're on already, so that they can come back at you and they can talk to you about it and the conversation can continue. One of the things we have in our cell group, I think I've said several times in our cell group over the last 6 months, is that's great as a conversation. Don't forget that the conversation isn't ended. You know, so somebody relates a conversation they've had, and you think, and traditionally we'd say, oh, did they make a decision for Jesus? No. Oh, that's the end of that then. But actually, that's not the end of that by a million miles. And in fact, there's biblical evidence from Jesus that actually when he did the casting out the demons, the legion, he cast out the legion of demons, and then the guy wanted to stay around, and Jesus says, no, you're not allowed to stay with me. You've got to go back to the Decapolis. And then apparently later on, when the apostles are preaching, they go to the Decapolis and they find that this guy, basically there's a bit of a revival going on, you know, in terms of people becoming Christians. And really the guy just told everybody that he could, you know, in between that time, what God had done for him. So there are definitely times and seasons and conversations that can continue over a period of time. It's a bit of a challenge to leave the old way of doing things. And I think the camping illustration, you know, if you haven't been camping, I do apologise, you know, for using this illustration. But basically, if you have been camping, you know what it's like. I nearly brought an electric kettle this morning and then one of those little aluminium kettles. Do you know what I mean? That sort of illustrates the difference, doesn't it? You know, at home, tap, electric kettle, fill, switch on. 3 minutes, boil kettle, cup of tea in the morning, no problem. It's a big more big deal, isn't it, to get a cup of tea when you're camping. You know what I mean? So let's expect that if we're on this sort of journey and it's a bit like that, there are going to be some simple things that are going to be a bit of a bigger deal. Okay? Still to get there. But there's also going to be some sacrifices, big sacrifice when you go camping. I won't go into the detail of that, but sure you can think of the sacrifices that you make when you go camping. Well, unless you're one of those people with one of those massive wide auto homes that only exist in America, but somehow some of them have got over here. Do you know what I mean? And they've got the television screen, television aerial and the satellite dish and the extra car being towed behind. You know, apart from that sort of camping, it's not the sort of camping I'm really sort of, I don't think that's moving house really. But anyway, something that Philippa mentioned the other week, which I thought is actually fine. I'm just going to switch that off there. If I can get that out of the way. Because I've just realised that. Philippa mentioned, I don't know if you remember, Dave got Philippa up and said, so you get this question asked of you, and Phil sort of went, that's nice, and what do you think? Or I don't know what you know. What I mean, she said about three words, and then let the other person on OTT talk. Yeah, you remember that? I find that really hard. Phil's just that really sort of gifted person who can do that. There's nobody else in the world like her. You get that feeling? It's just like when I made, in you saw the mess up that I made last week with Brenda. You know, and I just thought, I was thinking about this during the week, it really sort of got me actually even worse, because I thought to myself, Andy, you're talking about inclusive community on, you know, today, like now, and you know, you blatantly didn't do it, Brenda. Why didn't you do it? So I started to try and analyse why I didn't do it, and this is where it comes to your heart, isn't it? You know, whether your heart's changed or not. And I just thought to myself, I don't really know what I thought to myself, really. I think I just switched off, actually, and just wasn't alert to it. And very fortunately, my wife comes along, takes the conversation on, and she's alert to it, and, you know, I'm just dead to it. Yeah, but if you said, What about the people you knew, Andy, who'd seen from the army base? Or the lady who you didn't know, but she clearly was from the army base? What was your reaction? Oh, I went up to them and I had a chat with them and I was looking for the opportunity. So I was thinking, why am I different with two different people? I don't know, and I still haven't really quite worked that out. If you have an idea of why you think that I'm like that, please just pray about it, don't tell me. So, and reflect on your own situation might be the best way of doing it. So that brings me actually to this point about, I think that we can't do inclusive community unless something happens inside of us, okay, unless we actually change. And I began to think about, it's a whole thing about following Jesus. So if you follow the way of Christ in this, you will end up being part of an inclusive community and your heart will be inclusive. Because I struggle really to find Jesus being exclusive anywhere. Although I have thought of a couple. I did struggle for a while to find, but you know, with the ordinary people and the starting point, he was completely inclusive. Yeah? The only time that I can find that he was exclusive wasn't that he actually pushed individuals away and said, no, you're not part of the team. No, you're not part of the team. What he did is he just racked up he just racked it up a little bit, you know. So everybody who'd gone on board to begin with had gone, hey, Jesus, good guy, heals, and son of God, yeah, recognise that, I'm going with him, like to follow him. And then one day Jesus racked it up a little bit, and I'm not quite sure how we would rack it up like Jesus did, because Jesus talked about eating blood, drinking blood and eating his flesh, which for us, doesn't really matter. If you watched Bear Grylls last night, he seemed to have no problem with it. Did anybody watch? Yeah. He killed some sort of yak or something. I missed the drinking of the blood bit, but he did eat raw liver, and an eyeball. Oh. So I just thought, throw that in. They do say that memory, that if you've got something horrible, you know, or something scary, or something like that, it does help you remember things better. So I thought I'd throw it in. Anyway, there you go. But, you know, Jesus did that. Jesus actually racked it up a little bit, and a few people went, oh, that's a bit tough. But that's about the only time I can really think of him being not wholly inclusive, if you like. But it was really to the people that were already with him, and he was just sort of saying, look, guys, you know, this is how it is. And I suppose I'm trying to say that a little bit this morning. Because if you are going to be part of this community of believers in Dayspring that are on this huge, long, lifelong camping trip of doing things, you're going to have to be prepared for some change. Not change that's imposed on you, but change that is required of you from inside. Of change that says, instead of me wanting to watch the telly, or instead of me wanting to put my money here, or going on a holiday or something, I am going to do this other thing, whatever it might be. And it's being open to God actually dealing with that. In fact, I've got a little thermometer for you. If you can all, I can verbally give you a thermometer now. Jesus did this. He gave everybody a thermometer for their spiritual temperature. It goes like this. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Now, my temperature is quite low at the moment. You know, it's not a normal body temperature of what Jesus would expect, I think. And I'm sure that most of us would say that. However, it's a challenge to us, isn't it? What are we doing with it? I think this is probably eating the body and flesh thing for us, is where do you put your money, guys? Put your money where your mouth is. Is your money following what your belief is? That's probably as hard as it gets for us English and American people. Sorry. And Welsh or whatever, Scottish and so on. So it's about as hard as it gets for us. Okay, so I'm just throwing that in because I think that it's trying to understand what motivates us and what actually tries to draw us on. Now, last time I was speaking, I talked about motivation and how you get through a day and how you know whether you've actually achieved what you wanted to achieve. And I think I had a good conversation with Andy Cummings about this, about motivation. I remember, Andy, that's amazing. I was considering this motivation thing, and I was trying to work out how you actually get to follow Jesus more, even if you sort of, most of you doesn't want to. I don't know if you know what I mean, but when I first became a Christian, when I really committed my life to Christ, Eric Dell spoke, I was at a student's Christian house party thing, and he said, and I think it's still true for me today, he said, look, if you want to be 100% committed to Jesus, then 99% of you doesn't want to be, but there is one little tiny 1% of you that wants to be, then pray this. He says, just tell God, look, God, there's 99% of me that doesn't want to do this, but there's 1% of me that does. I want to back the 1%, please. Help. And I did that, really. And I think I'm still in that game. So what I've been doing, most of my Christian life, the songs we sang this morning, I actually began to think of the one I think we repeated. It was very much easier to sing it than say it, wasn't it? Didn't you find that? I thought, well, as soon as I'd sung it, Rolf said, let's say it. We said it. That's a bit close to the knuckle. I'm not sure how I can go with that. Then we sang it again, and I felt much better. And then I thought to myself, oh, if I read that tomorrow morning at work, at my desk or something,
yeah,
I think it would be even harder than me reading it out with Rolf. Do you know what I mean? And so I thought, oh, that's quite hard. But we've got to sort of take some decisions somewhere in our lives to actually go, okay, well, I'll read that on a Monday morning and I'll try and do something. Okay. Now, I don't know how you go about doing that or how you actually work that out in your life, because obviously if you don't manage it, then there's a load of guilt, yeah? And all that sort of, right? Obviously you know that I've been there, because otherwise I wouldn't know about it. This is what I've done in my Christian life. I think I've said, Lord, I declare that I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I really want to follow you. Help me. And then what I do is I hear somebody say, this would be a good thing to do for a Christian. And so I go and do it. And then maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't, who knows. But then, you know, you get to another point and I think, Lord, I really want to give you all of my life. And some other Christian or something happens and I hear a good thing to do, or there's an opportunity to actually do something, might mean I've got to stop doing something else, but I then try and get into it and I put myself into the position. So what I do is, on the one hand, I declare to God in prayer or in a song or whatever it is, Lord, I really am wholly available to you. I really want to go for you and go for it. But if I leave it at that, I just sink back into that morass of humanity life, you know what I mean? Just bleh, life, and you get to the end of the week and you think, oh no. But if you actually put yourself, so you've actually prayed the prayer, and then you put yourself in a position where you can't get out of it, do you know what I mean? You just, so, I don't know, for you it might be, well, I don't know, I've struggled with OTT up until the last one. And then, of course, I'm only going to cock up on, you know, so have I struggled? Yes, I've struggled all the way through. I mean, before I went, because I was thinking, come, this is a Saturday morning. Saturday mornings for English men are time to read the paper, drink coffee, sit in the sun outside, hopefully, if the weather's good enough, and if the Grand Prix's on, get ready for it. And so going on OTT goes against this huge flow. So as I'm driving the car, you can always feel the force pushing you back to home. And you go again. I don't know if you know what I mean, guys. It just goes like that, isn't it? I don't know what the ladies will think. I'm not going there. You've got your own stuff. And so I've gone to OTT, and I can remember my mum and dad would say this about me, and so it's always been like this as a kid. They would say, would you like to go to so-and-so, you know, go out for the day to do this? And one day it's to go to see a hunt go past. And I really didn't think I wanted to see a hunt go past, so I said no. And they said, well, we're going anyway. So I had to go. And I loved it. I can't remember anything about the hunt. I think it was just a nice day and I completely forgot that I loved it. And actually, that's what happens to me with OTT. If I force myself to go against the grain and eventually get out onto OTT, I just love meeting people. And there's no pressure and nobody ever says anything bad to you. It's absolutely wonderful. And you can do lots of different things. Like you can give chocolates away so kids smile at you, which is unusual for me. And other people, you know, that's the thing. I meet people that I know, obviously, because, you know, I know quite a lot of people, obviously, with the bus and that. But then you can also take a rest and sit on that stainless steel seat. And then people sit next to you. You can offer them a chocolate or a cup of tea. And you can just chat to people that you've never met before. And also, there's no pressure. No pressure on them, no pressure on me. And it's just great. But eventually, somebody asks you the questions, and then you have to be on the metal. And of course, I'd let me go. You know, you're not, aren't I? So, that was that. Okay, so I think there's a phrase here I've picked up from somewhere. I can't remember where it was really. But we've got to get away from this Christian concept of bigger barns. We're not building bigger barns for more people to come into. What we're looking for is more blood flow. Okay, so you've got to think of it as a total different concept. I've just used two different metaphors there, and you've just got to go between. Barns is fitting people in. Blood flow, I don't mean spilling it out on the ground. I just mean, you know, it's like we've got to increase the flow of life into the community. So if you... oh, that was really good anyway. But yeah. We need to treat other people with dignity. We need to think the best of them. And I think that's probably where I fell down with Brenda. Actually, not thinking necessarily the best of her straight away. And if we think the best of people before we even know them, we are going to have a much better time with them than if we don't. And I've been trying to pick Phil's brain to see, because a few months ago, Dave said, Phil's got a bit of a gift on the OTT thing when talking to people and stuff. The difficulty is she doesn't really know what she's doing. She just does it. And so it's difficult for her to tell. And I've been slowly drawing it out. And that thinking the best of people. It's right, isn't it? Isn't it? Nod. It is right, though. If you just think the best of people, I know that that's what Phil does. She just thinks the best of people, and then she's looking for an opportunity to bless them in some way and talk about spiritual things. So that's good. And this second bit is called listening, really, because it's talking, us talking a minimal amount and letting other people talk. Now, I've got some sort of good news and bad news, really, about the next stage. Because on the one hand, what I've talked about is leaving the old culture of church, and we've been getting into that. So we haven't got a major problem with that in terms of what the church overall is doing. But I think we've got some issues in our hearts about actually getting on board with OTT, Essence, Cabaret Connections and things. And I'm going to leave that and say, yeah, I think we've all got something in our hearts about that. We could all do better with that in terms of the way that we're actually operating and trying to get in the flow of this getting out into the community and letting the whole of our Christian lives be sort of on view instead of being secretive and exclusive. And we've got to be listening to people when we get out there, not telling them, but listening to them. So again, that's easier for us. Don't forget that what's easy for them is easy for us, because we are in the same culture, okay? So what puts pressure on us puts pressure on them. In fact, yeah, I won't talk about that now. So that's that. Then the next thing is actually what happens, though, when some of these people from Cabaret Connections and the bus and OTT and Essence start to actually be a part of our community, or in a way that we're starting to be a part of their community, and they're beginning to grab a hold of faith in a sort of way, and they obviously start to demand more time from us, because otherwise the relationship's not there. Do you know what I mean? So let's say somebody on OTT, bless them, you know, they come up, they've had a few conversations over the few months, 6 months of conversations, then they come to an Essence thing, then they ask about Cabaret Connections, they come along to that, and so what's happening all in between? If we're an inclusive community, there's got to be something happening in between, otherwise our hearts haven't, you know, we could take a temperature test there and say our hearts haven't been changed. So we'd obviously be going, well, would you like to come to our barbecue or come around for dinner or I'll look after your kids or how's things going, you know, at the moment, or I'll just drop around a cup of coffee, you know, and chat. And, do you know what I mean? No, also, it's not time consuming. So this is coming down the track. If we have left the old church culture and we're going into OTT essence all of this, and then we're going to listen to people who are out in the community, what is sure as eggs is coming down the track is the fact we're going to have to spend time with these people, and they're going to live among us, and we're going to live among them. And got a strange feeling that I'm not going to like them all. I don't think you are either. And so therefore it began to grab a hold of me, this whole thing of, and I've written it down, we will have to give up stuff, more stuff. We'll have to give up more of our own personal time. And I think that's going to be really hard, especially as I've already said, Saturday morning is quite a crucial time for regeneration, isn't it? You know what I mean, with the male English person. Reading the paper is some just that relaxing moment, isn't it, you know? Maybe I'll have to give that up, I don't know. But the very presence of Jesus living in us is going to have to be enough for our life. Now, I am not there yet, so please don't think that I'm saying I've got to do this tomorrow, like. I'm just saying, this is coming down the track, guys, that we are going to have to die to self more and more and more as we go down this track. Okay? Because there are going to be more demands on us, and therefore we're going to have to rely more on the presence of God. And therefore, the other stuff that we did sing about, Rolf chose songs superbly without my help today, about, you know, the things on this earth and earthly things aren't really in the argument logically, you know, they've got to be put to one side. And we're going to have to do that and die to self. So we're going to be living among people. And of course, then the question is, well, I don't know if there's a question there, but there's certainly something's going to happen whilst we're doing all this. If our hearts are changing and we're living with other people, they're going to have to notice. Aren't they? I mean, it's going to be very difficult for them not to, I think. I mean, we'd have to be very exclusive on an individual basis. I'm not telling you anything about my faith, even though I'm out here on OTT at the moment. You know, we're just giving chocolates and tea and coffee away. You know, why are you doing this? And, well, I don't really know. You know, it doesn't really gel, does it? You will have to have gone through a process that says, I go on OTT because I actually want to meet people. And do you see what I mean? So it's got to work on that. Now, it's not about the barns, because the disciples that we make are going to be like us. So they're going to have to be trained to go out and do the stuff that we do too. They're not going to be like 50-year-old, 50 years ago Christians who went to church. And once we've got them in, we can continue to go out. They're coming on the team too. You see what I mean? I think that's the way it may well look like. So we're discipling people to become like Jesus, which is leaving their own ways of life, listening to other people and living among other people. So we're going to be asking the people that we meet on the street next OTT, eventually they're going to be having to take on board our sort of DNA, if you like. So, I don't know if you can see now why I think it's going to be like camping. Do you see? Does that make sense, or is that not a very good analogy? Can anybody think of a better analogy? You know, rather than, because in a camping, you're going to have to keep moving, you know, because culture's going to change it. Is it? Is that? Yeah? Is there a better analogy? Or, I'm sure you'll think of one during the week, and if you do, that would be really, that'd be really, really good. Yeah. I've run out of time, really. I did want to show a little. Oh, we'll show that jelly babies on you. Everybody wants a jelly baby. This is something that Dave, this is a little PowerPoint that Dave showed in November last year. And I was reading food stuff the other this week in preparation, and just keep click on to the next one. You see, these guys in a particular culture, where everybody's still apostles and believes all together, have sole property, broke bread in their homes, we're going to do that sort of thing too, because you can't just stay out on the street when you start to relate to people. Go on to the next one. I've not a clue what that's about. What? I'm not sure why there's an elephant with a snake.
It's the six blind men.
Okay.
Different interpretations of what's going on.
Yeah, different interpretations. Very good. Let's move on, because I've got a clue what to say about that. Jelling together. Go on to the next ones. Right. We're all, there's a commonality. Go on to the next one. So community. Everybody knows what community is. Somebody getting together having a barbecue or jacket potatoes with chilli. You know, that's community today. It's going to be great. Really looking forward to it. Next one. And then you notice, can you go back one, sorry? They're sort of all,
go back one more. Commonality.
There's two little groups here. You've got to watch, because it's really, really important.
You've got the jelly babies and the geliatrics there. Yeah. Two
separate.
Okay, go on to the next one then.
And now, the geliatrics and jelly babies are together.
Next one, the community aspect. They're on their way. Now, you see, they're all facing the same direction. They're clearing up. Community is this community in motion with mission, a purpose, going somewhere, which is where I got the camping idea. You can imagine all these jelly babies going camping now. Although I don't think they're going to walk far, because they've all got a drawing pin under their foot. What's the next one?
They won't stand up otherwise.
And then communion. So, which I dispute that really. I think there should be a jelly baby facing the other way. But anyway, isn't that the end one? And communicate. No, right, yeah. Okay, getting out there. So, that's it. So, that's quite interesting. Dave was talking about that then. And let's really talk about the journey that we're on. Now, we do have to follow Christ in this. Okay, so my prayer today, I think, is that if there's somebody here, just one person even, who just goes, I think I need to grab a hold of something here, not quite sure what it is, but I'm going to pray now and make some changes as best as I possibly can, then all my preparation will have been worthwhile. I hope that it's going to change me too. I've got an opportunity this week, I meant to tell you at the start, but I forgot, which I'd really like to pray for me this week. Because on Tuesday, I'm going away for 4 days on a retreat. Okay. And interesting...
It's a silent one.
Fortunately not. And I asked how many monks there were, so they're not monks, they're brothers. Mm. And there are nine. And they're friars, apparently. Hopefully it'll be a good breakfast, somebody said. There you go. Quite well, and wanted to go. So if you could pray for me about that, but I did want to tell you straight away about a conversation I had with Axel. You know Axel now, because I've talked about Axel before. He's my hairdresser. You see, I've had my hair cut since last week. And I was chatting to him on Friday morning, and I said, what news have you got? Then, because we always just have a little chat. I've had chats with him, he's a Catholic background. And he said, no, nothing much. I said, I've got to go on this retreat next week. I'll put it like that, I've got to, But anyway, he laughed, and then he said, yeah, that's good, that's really good. And then we got into this conversation. And I actually said to him at one point, you'd really like to go on a retreat, wouldn't you? He said, yeah, I would, actually. His personality type, he was saying, was just really like that, but he'd like to be quiet. And he actually sometimes does that, I think, on his own. He was sort of saying, he said, I like to be on my own for periods of time. I thought, several days, I said. He said, yes. It was just And he said, it's just a sort of clear and reset, you know. And then I said to him, I said, I'm a bit nervous about it because I don't really know what to do. You know, on it. You know, it's 4 days stretching out in front of me, and I'm very, as we've talked before, I'm very much a doing sort of person, and I'm quite sure what to do. So I said to him, I said, I'm thinking I'm going to take my journals and stuff and that I've been keeping, and I'm going to review them. You know, I just sort of said, I'll probably try and, you know, do something like that. And he said, oh, no, he said, I don't think you should do that. He actually told me, you know, he said, don't think you should do that. I think you should just, he said, if it was me, and then he quickly changed. So if it was me, I'd just turn up with a toothbrush and a towel. And that'd be it. He said, well, maybe take just a new journal, you know, a blank one that's completely blank. And I actually feel that was a bit of a word for the Lord to me, really. So I'm not going to take all my journals. So I am going to take a blank journal. And I am a little bit nervous, okay, which is why I want you to pray for me. Because I don't know what's going to come out of it. Or what's going to come out of me. So you can pray for that. And then also pray for yourselves, that we can position ourselves before God in a new way and be changing our minds. So that's...